What am I at a given time? It's the set of my current mental states. So then what is it for me to persist over time? Well, it's for there to be sufficient persistence in my mental states over time. There's a kind of continuity in my mental states. Though they change somewhat in the course of my life, they don't change dramatically. So there's a similarity between my later bundle of mental states and my earlier bundle of mental states. So we will say I had much the same personality when I was 10 years old as I had when I was 15, as I had when I was 25, and so on. My personality has changed a bit, but there's continuity in the bundle. The bundle hasn't been radically disrupted. So the self is really just the bundle of these states. It's something mental. It's not something like the brain, it's physical. It's something constituted by my mental states, and it's nothing like this transcendental ego which seems to lie behind all my mental states. It's something we can recognise as an encounterable real thing in the world, because we know we have these mental states, and yet it's not a physical thing and subject to all the problems that we dealt with earlier. So that's the bundle theory. It's sometimes also called the mental connectedness theory. It's the idea that persistence of a self over time consists in the connection, causal connection and connections of similarity between subsequent mental states. So at a given time, you've got various mental states. These are connected to other mental states later on in a causal series, and the given causal series is what we mean by a person. It's a series of connected mental states. Okay, that's the idea of the bundle theory. It has some appeal. I mean, when you hear it, you say that it sounds right. It certainly sounds better than the other two theories. There seems something right in the idea that what I am is constituted by the succession of my mental states. That certainly seems as if there's something on the right lines about that idea. But again, we must subject this to critical examination and see whether it actually holds up when we look at potential objections to it. Here's the first objection. It may already have occurred to you. What about interruptions in the stream? Interruptions in the series. Let's take the most common sense case, going to sleep. You go to sleep at night. Now, you dream, of course, during some of the night hours, but you don't dream during all of the night hours. There are periods where, apparently, as far as we know scientifically, there's nothing mental going on. You sort of shut down completely mentally. There's no dreaming, there's nothing like, no thinking going on. There's an interruption in the stream. So there is no mental connection in the stream. There's no series of connected mental states. What should we say? Well, according to the bundle theory, didn't I go out of existence then? Since I am a bundle of mental states, since there is no bundle during dreamless sleep, and since there's no connection between the states, mental states I have when I wake up and the ones I had before, because there's been a break in the stream, what should we say? I went out of existence during that time? There was no Colin McGinn? I was just gone during dreamless sleep? That certainly does violence the way we ordinarily think. We ordinarily think I persisted throughout the night. I was still there at every moment of the night. I still existed. But if I'm a bundle of mental states, and if there is no bundle at any given time, there's nothing there to be me, according to the bundle theory. So that's a problem. If there's an interruption, what should we say? A new self came into existence because there was an interruption in the series? If it's the same self, then the continuity of the self over time can't be the same thing as there being this kind of continuous series of connected conscious states, because this is a discontinuous, interrupted series of conscious states. So already there are problems about understanding the idea of interruptions of one's mental life. Another problem about it. What about amnesia? Suppose a person suffers from radical amnesia. You know, they have an accident, they hit their head, and they have some sort of brain injury, and they lose their memory, as we say. Their memories are completely gone, and they wake up. Now, they may not know who they are. If you say to a person with radical amnesia, who are you? They may say, I just don't know. I don't know who I am. They know that they're them. They say, I am me. But they say, who are you? If I have the amnesia and you say, who are you? I can't say, I'm Colin McGinn. I'm a philosopher. I teach at Rutgers University. I've forgotten all those things. So, yes, there can be cases of amnesia when people have these very dramatic losses of memory. Does that mean that they cease to exist? Apparently not. That doesn't seem right. Suppose the amnesia is permanent. I never regain my memory of those things. Does that mean I'm dead? Did I die when I had suffered this memory loss? I went out of existence? That seems like the wrong thing to say. I persisted through the loss of my memories, so I can't be constituted by the set of my memories. The same with the personality traits. I may have a rather dramatic change of personality traits. I might change in a very pronounced way. We all know the story of Saul on the road to Damascus, who has a great conversion experience and changes his whole outlook on life. And many people report having similar experiences. They change from being a person of one type with one type of personality to another type of personality. But isn't that, in that way, very way of describing it, we're saying that the same person changes their personality.